We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Go Blue with Stu. I am your host, as always, Stuart Douglas. With me, almost as always, Ant Wright. What's going on, man? You've been a busy, busy man with this transfer portal, have you not?
Incredibly busy, man. I feel like the list is updating every single day, every single minute. And, you know, some names are big, some names aren't so big. I'm not trying to joke on anyone, but, like, if you're transferring from, like, Northwestern State or, like, St. Francis, Brooklyn, like, okay.
Okay.
Okay, you know what I mean? But if you're good, or if you're someone who has, like, high major looks, whether it's Big Ten, ACC, SEC, A-10, or you're leaving those and you used to be a big-time recruit, that's where I'm like, ooh, like, what's going to happen here? Like, are they going to get the same love? Look at guys like Isaac Trout, who goes to Virginia, redshirts, then leaves. It's like, okay, are people going to recruit him high? He doesn't have any college tape out there. Are they going to recruit him for what he did in high school? No, there's Joan Traore, same thing. Like, didn't really play well this year, but he was a five-star recruit. Like, how's that recruitment going to go? You know, and it's really interesting. It's really interesting.
It was – and this is not a knock on walk-ons whatsoever. I respect the hell out of walk-ons, but it was a football stat, and it was like scholarship players and walk-ons. I'm like, I guess I could see like a walk-on, you know, they like start, like make some tackles, start a couple of games for like a high major program, and then they want to go down for a scholarship at a lower program. But I'm like, how many walk-ons are really transferring? What does that even entail there? Exactly? How do you transfer on and off scholarship? I don't know.
You never know, bro. You never know. Sometimes the walk-ons, like, once they're like scout team enough, they just get an itch to play again. You know, and no, you would 100%, if you're Saginaw Valley and someone from Michigan or Michigan State walked on, like, they would give them a look. Like, hey, what are your numbers? Send them over to me. Send me some practice film, and we'll see if it makes sense.
Yeah. So I'm just being a hater. You got to put your name in it.
Yeah, you got to be. I feel you.
You, it almost seems impossible. Now, I did realize that you have a great secret in using Synergy to kind of track these guys and see who's good on top of this list, because there's so many players. But I mean, is there certain things that you're looking for right off the bat, percentiles, just raw macro stats, or it's just kind of, you know, here and there, whatever this guy kind of looks like, size, guard, big, whatever.
It takes me about like 30 to 40 seconds to know if someone's got it or not. I don't really look at the numbers first. I want to see how they move, how they are with the ball. Then I look at
– you're breaking down the video of them right off the bat. Like if they're
not – I look at video first. That's why I don't really get – you know, there's this dude from Ole Miss, Amari Abram.
He's
like 8 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. Like if you were to look at that, you're like, oh, okay.
Right.
He's a 2024 NBA draft prospect. And you have to really like watch the film, like, okay, he's kind of James Harden light, like the way he's able to move around and shoot the ball and use his body and come off of screens, his mid range is real nice. And he's only 18 years old. He's gonna be 18 for a couple more months. So he just spent his whole time in the SEC just being very, very solid, where I'm like, man, good off season, man, one more year. You know what I mean? It can get real interesting. So there are some guys who also put up big numbers, and I'm looking at them and I'm like, I don't see it. I don't see it translating. So it all depends on just how they move. It all depends on – then I look at how their size, and then I look at – okay, what am I missing? So then I look at synergy, their percentiles. Like I want to know why their efficiency is high or is it low? Like if someone has a high efficiency, but most of their offensive possessions are cutting and getting to the rim, I'm like, you know what? Efficiency is a little bit overvalued here. But if it's someone that's coming off a pick and roll and spotting up with a high efficiency, that means that you're either shooting well or you're coming off a pick and roll and reading the correct defense. And you're, you know, killing teams. Right. So it all depends. It all depends.
Yeah. That's why I saw Jalen Llewellyn do last year. I liked what I saw in movement. And it didn't pan out, obviously, then the injury happened. But it is a big thing. Like, eye test is huge in high school recruiting because how many kids out there can score 40 in a high school game? And it means
a lot of dudes out there that are buckets.
I got a lot of guys took my scholarship offers because of that stuff. Like they're exactly. In some school in Michigan playing nobodies and dropping 50. And I'm like, well, I'm not doing that. But like, how does that translate? That kid's 6 foot tall. Like, is he really going to do that? And I have one kid in particular. I'm not going to name him, but it was like just a shooter and he dribbled against like schools with like 100 people in their class tops. And so he looked like he got off the bounce there, but it's like, give me a break, man. It's impossible. So I'm curious. So, because this is an interesting thing to me, like with those guys, like that redshirt kid from Virginia, there's a couple other players like minimal film. And it's an interesting landscape where you got like Miami and Nigel Pack, Kansas State's team, like all these teams are getting transfers and having success immediately. And then you're like, well, some of these kids are a little bit more developmental and trying to balance that. And so I want to get through like what your ideal kind of transfers are and what Michigan looks like. But I feel like it's impossible to project these things unless you just like know an insider, know where a guy is from and like and like a school has an opening there. But like it's a whole new aspect of like developing some redshirt freshman that's 0 minutes, but he's 6'10", or like, let's use that money on a 6'4 guard who averaged 15 last year at a mid-major, and maybe we can take him to the Elite Eight.
I think age matters, especially with Michigan, because I think every single team is going to need something a little bit different.
Yeah.
Like if you look at Michigan State, man, if they can go out there and get like a biggish wing, I think that's going to fill a lot of holes for them. Like if they go out and get Dalton Connect, I dropped his – video today. I think that adds a very dynamic player, right? If Michigan were to get someone that is going to be a bit older, that's going to be huge. Like right. You have to be older because they're already young. You know, they kind of did that to themselves with their six man and five man lineups, not lineups, but recruiting classes. So they're automatically going to be on the younger side. Then on top of that, you have some younger guys who aren't going to be ready to play in the rotation. So they're kind of just there taking up space where you're like, man, I wish I had three like three spots open, maybe four, to fill some of them with some guys who could help us right away, or we can get in a transfer who we know that we're going to have for 2 years.
Yeah. It's almost like an impossible spot. Like if Michigan, I'm thinking about like just simply filling up the roster. And now you go, a guy like Isaiah Barnes doesn't plan very much and he's out. And I don't blame him, but they're already lean enough as it is at guard. Like, I feel like depending on what Kobe does, even if Kobe returns, they need, and let's say even Jalen comes back, they need like one at least guard, I think. Definitely a small forward, but I think you got to find some type of guard that can fit in.
I mean, I'm just looking at the lineup and looking at the rotation. If Kobe doesn't come back, right, they have one spot open. And then you're looking at, and then if nobody else transfers out, both recruits come in, they're at one spot open, and that's it. That's going to handcuff them because they're going to need, they need a 2-3, but they also need a 4. They also need like a legit 4. Like, I would love if they went out and got Akeem Hart or Jameson Battle. I would love if they went out and got the kid Dalton Connect. I would like if they went out and got Amari Abram, even Jameer Nelson Jr. I think all those guys can play alongside Doug and Jalen. I think that's super important. And you're going to have a starting 3 and 4 who are talented, very, very talented. And then you'll be coming off the bench with Joey Baker. You'll be coming off the – well, granted, if he gets the waiver.
Right.
You'll be coming off the bench again with Terrence Reed, Will Cheddar, even Yo-Yo, if he has a really good offseason. But this lineup is just not very talented, unfortunately. You know, even with you know, Hunter, and they had both, you know, Jet and Kobe last year, throughout the roster, it was just missing a lot of firepower, just missing a lot of guys who really move the needle. And that's just tough. But they got to address all that. They have to get more talented and they have to get older.
But
like I said, their big classes are really, really messing the opportunity up to have to go out and get multiple transfer guys, unless a couple other guys just walk out.
Today's episode is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play college basketball pick'em, where you can get a little extra sweat during March Madness and win real cash prizes simply by picking player stats in this weekend's games. In Pick'em, all you do is predict whether a player will go higher or lower on Underdog's projected totals, whether that's points, rebounds, whatever. For example, if you're like me and you think Zach Edey is going to go nuts in this tournament, pick higher on his points projection, add up to 4 more picks, and if you hit them all, you can win 20 times your money on a single game. Underdog's slick mobile app is easy enough that dummies like Jeff Goodman have even figured it out. So go to underdogfantasy.com or download the app and use the code FIELD, F-I-E-L-D, and Underdog will match your deposit up to $100. Now is the time to get in on the madness. So remember, underdogfantasy.com, promo code FIELD.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What? Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Yeah, I mean, granted, you know, if Kobe comes back, regardless, I think it was from February, they were, what, a top 15 offense in the country, I think efficiency-wise at least. I don't know where they were at scoring in terms of like the big five conferences, but I thought they were figuring it out when they were humming along. And a lot of it for me is age and just having that maturity at the end. And I do think like you got the different breakdowns, right? You wrote this article for Blue by 90, looking at what you want to look for in a transfer and then certain targets for Michigan and your veterans, you know, your veteran guys who I picture next year. You know, I just see Terrence shooting a lot better next year and being that guy that can just be plugged in. And, you know, they can have a talent come in at the four spot when they need it, but that guy that can like complement talent, let's say Kobe comes back, and I think they could still hum offensively with the veteran guys that they have on the roster or who will be considered veteran next year. I just think that guard spot is just so important. You see what Texas did. It was their three leading scorers were all 6'4 and under. 6'4, 6'1, 6 foot.
Right.
Yeah, like
right.
Midday. And they played that really well. Now, what's his nuts? The four man was good and the five man was solid. I mean, they played around, but like Timmy Allen. Timmy had played great in the tournament. He didn't overly impress me, but he could be dynamic. The five man, I couldn't even remember who it was. Like it was fine.
Disu, but he got hurt in the last game.
Yeah, okay, then that's what it is. He was good. But I think, you know, with Hunter is a different story where you do want, I feel like, a veteran at the four spot and you only have one roster spot. And I'm thinking, like, gun to your head, Ant, like, are you going to go for a four, a three, or a two? Like, if you have
gun one on my head, I'm going for someone who can cover all three.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Like, that's...
I think like a 6'6 dude that plays like the three is like mostly ideal, especially if Kobe leaves and Jalen can come back, that's solid. And you got a guy and somebody can play in the ball screen, a small forward that can play in the ball screen and, you know, we'll be able to hit some open shots, I think is crucial. I mean, you're filling the spot for Jet for sure, but like Isaiah's gone now and Kobe, when it comes back, is 6'4. And like having that height is ideal. Again, I just rattled off Texas. But, you know, having that height is super ideal, especially in Big Ten play. So, I don't know. I feel like, gun to my head, I'm like shooting for any 6'5", 6'6 kid that can handle the ball. And it's like ready to handle the ball at the next level.
They need someone big and versatile. They didn't really have that this year. Jet was 6'7", 6'8", but, like, he was so young. He was so young.
Yeah, just so young.
Like, you need a grown man. Like, man, Shondi Brown, just, you know, someone who's just a dog, just doesn't care about anything except beating you. Yes.
He did not care. He didn't care that he came off the bench, but he looked at a guy that would punch a wall for coming off the bench. And he came in and he was the guy the first 10 games, at least, came into the game. Everyone else was scared to shoot isn't the right phrase, but like they're all looking at each other like, what are we going to do? And he came in as like, I'm doing me. And it worked and it was great. And he did exactly that. He cut, he shot, he was aggressive. And granted, he shot well and he scored. So that always helps when you're aggressive coming into a new role. But like that shit's crucial. You saw it this year with the slow start, right? Back-to-back years of slow starts, that stuff will kill you. And you need some of those killer guys. Like I would love a 23-year-old on the team, but I don't know if you can expend – you know, a roster spot if he doesn't fit the talent, you know, just because he's older.
You need those guys to get you through some of those rough games, you know?
Yeah.
Remember in 08, 09, like we had come off beating UCLA, then we beat Duke. And then we played Savannah State, who didn't miss a shot.
Novak.
Like, can you even? Oh, that missed dunk. Oh my gosh, Zach, Jesus.
Poor Zach.
No, but like, that's a game where if we don't come in focused that year, we probably lose that game. That game doesn't even get forced to overtime. And next thing you know, we're on Selection Sunday, like, hoping that that Savannah State game didn't screw us out of this, you know, the best season that Michigan's had in years, right?
Yep.
So I think those are the games, like that game against Central, or even the overtime games against Ohio, and like all these games that, you know, they should be winning by 20 plus, right? Playing multiple guys, getting guys minutes and reps. They really never got that opportunity. And now you're shoving in Terrace and Will Cheddar in the final third of the season when they lost the first two thirds. And now they're playing people with 800 minutes of time this year. It's a bit off. They're going to be a step slow, a step behind. But the more those guys played, the more comfortable that they got. But you want to see that in November, right? Not February, and you're fighting for, you know, a chance just to be in the NCAA tournament. It should never be that. You know, it should be your average year should be similar to like Indiana this year, where even if they lost in February or lost in the Big Ten tournament, really wasn't a big deal because they knew that they were competing for a Final Four at the end of the day, knowing that they were in as a 3, 4, 5, 6 seed.
Well, that's – I mean, I don't know about Washington, if he's going to be able to play next year, but I don't – I mean, cracking that roster for freshmen, the freshman class coming in is probably not going to be super easy. So, like, right away you just have everyone coming back with experience with – which, like, those November games – and they know it. They know how they started last year. So they're even hungrier to start better next year and, like, more focused. As long as Howard keeps the locker room like I think he has with the current guys right now, I think that age is just huge, and that experience and that hunger to be like, all right, we know what that means, because they know at the end of the year, I truly believe that they were a tournament team, how they played in Big Ten play. When they played just as well as anybody else that made the tournament in the Big Ten. And it was just, okay, the first third, two-thirds of your season were just not. And so they're like, all right, that doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter that you play well at the end now. We had to play well the whole year, and so we don't just squeak by. So I don't know. I think that age will be good. It's just, it's a crapshoot talking about it and, like, who should they pick up, because you don't know who's leaving. And you don't know who can come back. Can Joey come back? Is Jalen going to come back? Could Terrace leave? Like, could Hunter leave? I mean, it's – when are they – and I forgot to look. When do they have to make a decision by?
They got to make a decision by April
26th.
23rd?
Okay. I thought it was around something. There.
But then they have until June 1st. I think that's stupid. Like, that's just dumb. Like, why is it – okay, hold on. It's – early entry is April 23rd, but they have June 1st to withdraw and come back. And I think that sucks for coaches. That absolutely sucks. Like you have a spot open for a guy that you think may be coming back. At what point do you say forget about him and move on? You know? Like, at what point, like, your communication with him and his camp have got to be pristine, can have zero holes in it. You got to make sure that both sides are telling the absolute truth. Where you're telling them, like, hey, look, I know the NCAA says June 1st, but just know that if I don't hear anything back by, like, mid-May, I have to make sure that, like, there's insurance on my end. You know what I mean?
That's why, I mean, it's an artificial timeline that's even sooner than that. I'd be totally fine with okay, you have to decide by April 20th, and then coaches, you know, the portal will be open for however long, but, like, you got to decide one way or another. I don't know. That is a lot of pressure. And then recruiting on top of that, I mean, it's just like a headache. I'm trying to think of – I hated the possibility of being an assistant coach back when it was just college – just with high school kid recruiting.
Right.
And now it's even crazier. Although I do think – Well, I don't know. I don't know how that goes. Like, do you have any insight on what the process is? Do they call anybody and everybody that they like, and then you just kind of feel it out? Or it's like, all right, we're going after Abrams, and that's it. And like Juwan just like throwing the kitchen sink at him, and they're going to like focus their energy on like three or four guys instead of contacting 20.
I think it depends on how hungry your staff is. Hold on. Close the door, please. No, the bedroom.
Walker.
That one. Yes. Man, these guys.
He's well,
on a show without Walker. Jesus.
No, it's not. And I'll never stop recording. When it
it depends on the staff and how hungry you are. There are staffs out here that will call and touch base with half.
Yeah.
And you know what? Sometimes it's not always to recruit that player. They're going to reach out because, look, they don't know if you can blow up in 2 years. And then you want to move again. They're going to remember you calling them. It's like, hey, this dude kind of believed in me before. Let's see what he's up to now. So a lot of that is just pure networking, really.
I can imagine the calls. Some assistant coach, hey, Billy, loved your stuff. And he's watched like 2 minutes of synergy clips. Just really impressed with what you did this year. I cut the game against San Diego State, and it's like, no, you fucking didn't, dude.
But they don't know that. These little
no, they have no idea. You'll buy all that.
No idea. So like, you could finesse it so easily. But it depends on how hungry your staff is. Your staff can very easily go out there and make so many calls, talk to so many people. And, you know, sometimes, you know, they have four people on staff contacting people. Some staff, they only have one. So, yeah. Of course, the one with four is going to be more active and be out there. The one with one, and it depends on the roster, too. Like, who exactly are we looking for? Do we have a lot of space for them? How's the roster maintenance going to be once this all clears up? So with Michigan, I think they have to be more methodical. They have to really take their time because they don't have a lot of space. But yeah, I'm interested, you know, not interested. I'm surprised that we've only had just one name enter the portal.
That's what I was going to ask you.
We kind of knew Isaiah was gone.
Yeah.
But you know, there's I mean, there's some other guys where I'm just like, you know what? Would I be surprised? No, not really.
Right. It's a weird balance now where you recruit these kids to develop them, but like, how long is that going to take? And do I have to have these tough conversations now where it's like, listen, there's not going to be a spot for you here. And you have to honor the scholarship, right? And so then you create just a weird atmosphere where you're pushing a kid out and that kid's beloved by his teammates. And it's just a weird, weird situation business-wise, like business transaction-wise. I mean, it's all people, coaches have always done that. They've gone to kids and told them, like, you should get out of here, probably.
Yeah.
I never really liked that part of it, but that's kind of the name.
It's a business. It's a business, man. It's a business. And that's what's tough about it. But, and then it's like, okay, like you should be trusting your evaluations that you made on this kid. Like, why are you giving up on them just a few months after you actually get them? That doesn't make much sense.
Right.
But then it comes back to what I have an issue with. They had a 5-man and a 6-man class back to back. Like, you can't do that in this day of NIL and portal in this COVID year. Like, you can, like, at most three.
Yeah.
And find ways to plug guys in.
It's crazy to think about, because back in the day, even like 6 years ago, it was like, yeah, fill it with that scrawny white kid who can shoot a little bit, and we'll see like if pans out. And now it's like, absolutely. And like, now it's thinking about, this kid's 80th on the list. I don't know if he's really going to fit in 2 years. We can find a senior just as easily. And yeah, it's a very odd decision. And people are like, it's funny to think about fans talking about the slim class coming in and how that was a problem. And it was like, no, that's exactly what they needed. It's exactly what they needed.
Exactly.
Because they saw the writing on the wall. They're like, they know that they have to keep it tight. And really just kind of go after some bigger names, maybe some prospects here and there. But yeah, it was, they also had a weird makeup where they had no seniors until Joey and Jalen came in. And it feels like they were like trying to fill those spots then because of all the emptiness, but then it came back to bite them a little bit. I don't know. It's I'm surprised we haven't heard more guys transfer, just to like have the possibility to play elsewhere and more opportunity. Yep. But like, they're not connected to a lot of guys. They're connected to that one kid. Who was that? What was that one kid?
BJ Mack.
Yeah. Well, first of all, where would he be a four man? Like, would he fit in at the four?
Dude.
Everywhere.
Don't get me started. Don't get me started.
What?
I don't understand it.
What?
I don't understand it.
Going after
if
him?
You the only reason that doesn't make sense is if Terrace or Hunter is not coming back.
The only reason that would make sense, is that what you're saying?
The only reason that would make sense, yeah, that would make sense, is if one of those guys did not come back. But if they're both coming back, I don't get that. I don't get it. I don't get it. And I think there's better options out there anyway, especially with how Jamal wants to play.
Right. Yeah, that part was a little bizarre. But I mean, I haven't heard of other names that they've been connected to, but it's, I mean, I haven't been following super closely, but I've heard a lot of names get in the portal, but there hasn't been like updates on connections. I think there's always speculation.
Well, one was Jameer Nelson Jr. because Phil coaches dad at St. Joe's.
Okay. Yeah, I think he's a great option from how he led his team, that Delaware team, compared to like Abrams, even though Abrams was very talented. But again, like that veteran guard play, if you had to pick, I mean, they obviously have talked to him. They have to be linked to him at the very least. I think Jameer liked Phil. Everyone fucking loves Phil.
Right.
And so I don't know. It's like pull the trigger or wait for something.
Yeah, I don't even know, because they can't take both.
No.
Like, they can't take both due to what's available on the roster.
When's the draft process? When do you have to put your name in by?
April 23rd.
And the transfer portal. Okay.
Or the portal. Wait a minute. Portal, you can pretty much go.
Oh, wait. Until June, is that what you said? I'm not.
I don't know. Okay. I think it's pretty much whatever you – is it whatever you want?
There's no date to put.
Transfer portal. Did the NCAA give a deadline this year? I don't even know if they gave a deadline. May 11th. May 11th.
So this is going to be dragged out. This is going to be dragged out big time.
The deadline will be May 11th. So that's new to me. So they have to May 11th, and then, you know, from there it's like, okay, hey, here's what I got.
Yeah, so it's
the
just
whole process. I mean,
it's like any day news can break, which
they need to bring back the 1 year sit out, bro. I'm sorry, man. Like,
yeah, but like, you get San Diego State and FAU now, though.
I understand. I understand why people like it. I understand. I understand all of that. But this isn't college basketball. Like, this is just free agency. And
Yeah. I mean, like, what do you want?
Like, it's crazy. Like, you don't get to watch people for 3 or 4 years anymore. You know? It's like, hey, 1, 2 years, like, there's nobody that you're gonna really attach yourself with on the team, you know?
Yeah.
They're like, man, you came in here, the team was here. 4 years later, man, you left just being, you know, you left a great legacy. There's no more of that. And you got three piles of gear from each college you've been to.
How, you know? How much is Nigel Pack just a fan favorite right now, though? Like,
oh, big time.
Yeah. So, like, if you win, though, like, people don't really care. Like,
that's true.
And it's a little different for Midwest fandom. It's going to be harder to change the traditional mindset of developing guys. But at the end of the day, like, it is Michigan that they want to see win more than any other player. And you see it with all the criticism, right? Like, yeah, got people pull for teams, but then you're out after 4 years and then get the new next guy in. So I don't know. You win, you'll be remembered and loved. But like, no longer can you say, like, that you have to develop a program to win anymore. It's just not a thing. It really wasn't.
You have to develop a team.
Yeah.
One team year by year and just figure it out.
And I think it's still like, you have to balance that part, right? Like, you have to balance Doug being your point guard for 4 years. Like, I think it's crucial to have somebody like that in the program where you have guys be able to be in place, speaking up as juniors and seniors for, like, when other transfers come in. Cause we talked about, you know, I listened to this quote or read a quote from Joey, and it took him a long time to feel comfortable speaking up in the locker room. And like that, a kid like that with that experience, a voice like that is huge. It's super important. And it took him a while because he didn't feel comfortable, for whatever reason, being a transfer, gaining the respect of others. I mean, it's not easy to just jump in with respect from day one with your peers. Like, it's different as a coach. Like, I think Juwan can come in. He came in and demanded, like, just got respect right away for who he was. Beilein was going to demand respect right away. But like, from a peer standpoint, I think it's still important to have those guys that are around the program. And I say that, and you got teams that are out here with barely any of that, but yeah. They still have, you know, then that's the other part. It's like, then you got a whole team. It's like two ways to do it. You got a team of seven guys that are coming together, and then they can like find some spark and magic and like be cooperative and like start from scratch. But there's always like that kind of internal battle with transfers and respect and underclassmen, upperclassmen. So it's like a weird, if you're going to be in the middle of it, you got to kind of toe the line and figure out what the balance is.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. I agree. It just sucks from a fan standpoint, and it sucks from a standpoint of you trying to see where these group of guys are in 2 years, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, there's no more of that. There's no more, man, next year these guys are going to be good. Like, you don't know that. These dudes can be gone. Like, these dudes can see, hey, we just over succeeded, you know, we destroyed all expectations and we're doing all these great things. Let's go somewhere else. You know what, yeah, I mean?
It is. It's because the thing I enjoyed most now, like, I'm a fan of the players. Like, I want to watch the players do really well, and watching them win is obviously a part of it. But like, I'm not, you know, cracking open three beers after a Michigan loss to like drown my sorrows. Like, I'm more interested in seeing, okay, how's Will Cheddar going to come back next year? How's Terrence going to respond next year? How's Jace going to come back next year and like play a role? And, you know, we're all worried about Jet leaving, Kobe maybe leaving, Jalen, whatever. But like, top to bottom, it is fun to follow the storylines and the development. Because we've been there. We've experienced that where it's like, yeah, you're like, give me some time. Like, let me go through the ups and downs and come back and come back stronger. And so that does kind of suck. Like, if I would be pissed if like Terrence left, I would be sad. I would want to watch him play next year. Same with Will. Same with like anybody at the bottom of the roster who played minutes this year. And I'm interested to see guys come off the bench, but it's just a hard thing to do. It does seem a little encouraging that you haven't heard anything yet from a lot of these guys that like they want to be there. It could be, this is typical like reading into things too much, but you know, Yo-Yo could have left real easy. Like Barnes was right away. He was gone. And that was,
was
easy. And like, you would think a domino effect would start to happen. Like, all right, writing's on the wall. I'm going to get out. I don't know. Maybe that's not the case. Maybe guys are just taking their time and some are more methodical, but seems like they like where they were at, even through all the shit.
And maybe it's a thing where they want to finish up the semester or be close to it, and all the tournaments being done, right? So now everyone's in football mode. You really get time to yourself, and you know, you get those conversations with the coaches, and you get a better picture on what your role looks like next year. You're either going to like the picture or you're not going to like the picture. And then now you have an avenue to, you know, go somewhere else and play like right away. So you'll be going from Michigan in April, probably enroll early in like the spring, then you're off and running again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I'm just always curious, like what that mindset would be. Like what our mindset would be if we were wanting to transfer. And like, I don't know. I feel like I'd want to get in right away and like see what my options are and not lose out some spot. But it's not.
Probably would have left after the tournament year. I probably would have left.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hindsight's 2020. That would have been genius.
Yeah. I probably would have left.
That year was so bad.
If we had no waiver, right? And we could just play right away. Like after that tournament, I probably would have like. I would have put my name in
like right after the Big Ten, no?
That would have been interesting. Like right after, probably right after the
Big Ten, right after the tournament.
After the tournament, because the Final Four was in Detroit that year. I think it was in Detroit that year. But, you know, that was a year that, man.
Your Oklahoma game.
Yeah, that was the Oklahoma stuff. That was starting, and you know, me and you playing against like UCLA at like the Garden, and winning that, and you know, going from that, and then like going to like DNPs at the start of Big Ten play. I'm like, what are we doing here? And then you know what? I saw the schedule. I never look at the schedule, but I saw the schedule. I saw three or four straight losses. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, okay. And then so, like, I just sat back, and then sure enough, he calls me in after we start, like, 1-3 or 2-4 or something like that. And he's like, okay, you're back in the rotation. oh, really? I'm so shocked, John. So shocked. Interesting how you come to this conclusion.
Yeah.
I don't know, bro. It was – Man, I can't even imagine the mind games being played now, especially when there's like NIL in the picture, and coaches probably use that as like a weapon to like mess with kids. I swear. And it's.
Yeah, some assholes will definitely do it.
Oh, 100%. In front of everyone, you're making how much? Look at this fucking layup, and you're making how much?
Oh, yeah.
Who's paying you?
Yeah, yeah.
Who's paying you? Are you? I'm about to call him right now and say, you lost my business. You don't know how to invest in this shitty ass player just in front of everyone. I swear.
That's the unspoken part of this whole thing is like, can they pay Kobe enough to come back? Can they pay Hunter enough to come back? Because Michigan hasn't hopped on it like the way of Miami has. Not even close,
right?
From a basketball standpoint,
not even close.
And they've started to with football side of it, but that's another thing. Like, yo, what can you offer me? And if like Jameer Nelson Jr. comes in and he's making twice as much as Hunter Dickinson, I don't see it being. I think like those guys will be pretty fine with it. at the end of the day, like, you're going to have to get over it and play basketball, and you're old enough to know what the business is, but it does make it an interesting dynamic. But Nigel Pack and Wong figured it out in Miami. Like, they figured it out. No problem.
Because Wong was about to hit the portal when he found out how much Pack was making. And of course, Ruiz was like, hey, I got you. Don't worry. Whatever happened, they worked it out. And what's funniest is that Wong and Pack have the same agent.
Oh, really? So did he get, he got the deal for Pack and then like didn't even tell?
Yeah, just so scummy, bro. Just so leeches. These little freaking vampires just crawling all over the walls. Vermin.
When Barstool signed like Jace and I think it was Hunter. And I think I even asked Jace, and I'm like, have you gotten any marketing deals out of it yet? And it was like 4 or 5 months in. No, nothing yet. I'm like, well, what are we doing here, guys? Like, everyone's just trying to hop on the train and hold on for dear life and be like, yep, we got you. But like, there's no results. Like, it's still such early times that I feel like it's open for the cesspool of Klingons and bloodsuckers. And like people doing, but it isn't a day and age where like you can talk to your local pros in your city and be like, who's a good agent and who's dealing with this stuff. But that's not everybody. Not every kid's going to be that smart or that have those resources. So I can only imagine the stories that go down. Shit. I mean, NBA is bad enough. Overseas is bad enough. I can't imagine what kids are going through. Like, what was the one kid? There was a football player. A guy in my office knows the guy who runs the NIL for IU. And they were talking about one football player. And I'm not joking. I think it was 20% fee to his agent. I'm like.
Yeah, I've seen between 15 and 30%.
Yeah, maybe it was like upwards of 30. I'm like 4 to 5. It's like the NBA. Like, how could they get? Why would you go to anybody that would demand more than 5?
Like dealing with the loan shark, man.
Why?
Like, yeah, I'm going to give you this loan, but you got 70% interest. Like, what do you mean 70% interest? Like, it's crazy. You
know, more than 3 weeks. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty wild. That's why I hope guys are talking to each other, because that transparency is huge to sift out grifters, because 30% is just ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
But it's the wild, wild west out here, man.
Yeah.
It is the wild, wild west. And it is.
I want to get these kids on and like hear their stories, but I'll have to probably wait till some of these kids graduate.
Yeah, as soon as they graduate, it's like, yo, talk to me, bro.
Yeah, because stuff needs to get out, but I understand why stuff doesn't for these kids. Like, you don't want to put it out there. I mean, Hunter doesn't even tell all this stuff.
Bates is in the portal.
Huh?
Tamar Bates is in the portal.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah. He
just hit a few minutes ago.
I don't think Woodson wanted him, for being honest. Yeah. I think they wanted to push him out. You're gonna see a whole new IU roster. Holy hell.
I gotta text my Indiana guy right quick. He probably knows, but
yeah, that it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the Big Ten, especially because you see Penn State gave like a great groundwork for some better programs to be like, yeah, if I go get myself a Jalen or Funk, even like how you can elevate your program and still play really hard and be really talented. I mean, we said it before the tournament started. Those are the types of teams that were better built for the tournament. Yeah, Michigan State, who we all thought was going to be the best built to make it a run.
Yep.
But, I mean, even Northwestern was better built than other teams because of their guard play. And Penn State, I thought for sure, had a legit chance to make, like, a sneaky run. So, I don't know. It's laying the groundwork. That's been the Big Ten's biggest problem. We're not going to get into the Big Ten, but that's been the Big Ten's biggest problem is NBA-talented guards and high-level wing play. Like, constant, like 1 through 3. And you see this all the time in the SEC, you know, the ACC here and there, some of the Big 12. And it's just absolutely crucial. And in these smaller schools too, where, dude, I was watching Toledo when Michigan was playing Toledo in the NIT. And I was like, these are the most confident players I've ever seen. It was like, all right, you go one-on-one. All right, next guy goes one-on-one. All right, then the next guy goes one-on-one. And they're all scoring with confidence. And they even do it. I'm like, damn, they, you could not even like really get those opportunities one-on-one like that at Michigan just because of how it's the game's supposed to be played. And I think some of that's wrong with the Big Ten style a little bit. So I don't know.
There's a lot wrong with the Big Ten style. You know who the Big Ten misses? The Big Ten misses John Beilein and Carmody. They really? Miss those guys. Yeah, I think they miss Carmody and they miss Beilein because they, those guys recruited, they didn't recruit Big Ten. Like, they stayed to them. And for Bill Carmody, it didn't really pan out. But it did pan out for JB because JB got Northwestern-type guys, except way better.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah.
Like there's levels to the super coachable, want to develop and get better bucket getters.
Trey's like Trey played for Arkansas in another life. Like he was not a Big Ten player.
he was not.
Penn State was just not. Well, I mean, Tim Frazier was there and I guess Taylor Battle, but Trey was an Arkansas Auburn player. Like that was not, he was not a Michigan guy or a Northwestern guy. But yeah, Timmy was
kind of not even Tim. I mean, he didn't recruit me, but like not Zach. Like nobody. Like if you really think about it, like who were the Big Ten players on that team? Like on his teams, like he got his guys and he adjusted a little bit. But he adjusted to become more NBA-centric than anything Big Ten. Like, he went with way more PNR. He went with way – like, he recruited much better players at each position, too.
Yeah.
It's like he had these players, but he was like, you know what? I can go for these players on this level. And they're seeing that – that I'm putting guys in the league. Now I got a little bit more juice when I'm walking into these rooms, when I'm walking in with these parents. I can not only tell them and show them how they're going to, you know, grow within the offense, but I'm also going to have examples of guys like I'm going to have examples of guys who were in those shoes and show how they excelled. Then they're going to know exactly. Yeah, he was drafted at 9th. He was drafted 14th in the NBA draft.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? His portfolio grew.
Yeah. Yeah. It is interesting. And I'm curious to see how that's going to help Jawan with Caleb and Musa and Jet and the development of Kobe and having a guy like Hunter do what he's done. I mean, I can only help him if he can capitalize on it, but. Long road. We're gonna see what happens in the transfer portal. I don't know whether it's gonna be good to. I don't know. I can't wrap my head around if it hasn't even opened up completely for like big time players yet, or if Michigan and teams need to hop on the availability right now. But there's good options out there. We will monitor it. Follow Ant Wright on Twitter. He's got all the updates with everything. That's who I literally am like looking at your page every 3 hours right now. I'm like, what did Ant tweet? Is it something new? So we'll have to keep an eye on it. Appreciate you, Ant. Appreciate everybody listening. We'll be back talking more portal stuff. Whenever Michigan makes some moves and just talk about, what they need, as soon as these pieces fall with Kobe and Hunter and God knows who else. We'll come back and talk about it. But appreciate everybody listening. Until next time, see ya.